And it has a place called planet Earth. And God made all of this, but it was temporary. Actually, probably it's going to last about 10,000 years total. And man living in this box is going to be about 7,000 years. And we've gone through now about 6,000 years. And so I'm going to explain the plan of God using this box today. And we're going to start at the very beginning. God created, it says in the Word of God, God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And of course it was not a beginning for God, because God always was. And God always will be. But he placed in this box something called time, T-I-M-E. There is no time with God, but he made time. And he put it in the box. And he built this for his pleasure and for one other reason, for you and I. That's what the Word of God says. So God built a place in a period of time that you and I would enter and learn about him, and hopefully during that time respond to him as Savior and Lord. So God created all of this, Genesis 1:1. He put in there everything man needed. In fact, he put man in last. He put in the grass and the trees and the sky and the seas and the stars and the planets and air and oxygen and all those things, everything man needed. And the very last thing he did, which was the crown of his creation, he put you and I in the box for a period of time. We all have 60, 70, 80, some 90, and some 100 years to live in that box. And then we're going to leave the box. And I'll explain that in a few minutes. You see, God, the kingdom of God is a lot bigger than the box. We have this idea that God is kind of confined to what we see, and he's confined to the planets and the stars and even what we call the galaxies, but he's really not confined to that, because all of that is in this box. The whole thing of God would be like this room compared to the box. So God has a lot of things going on, and he has a plan for us after we leave the box, because everybody's going to leave this box one way or another. Now God says we're going to live forever. So we're going to live forever someplace. It's either going to be in the plan of God, or it's going to be in a plan separated from him. Now the interesting thing about us is that God gave us free will. In other words, we can choose for God or we can choose against God.
That's right.
Basically, God is Father, and he wanted a family. But he wanted a family that wanted him. He didn't want a bunch of robots. He just didn't want a bunch of play soldiers or anything like that in the box. He wanted human beings that could make a choice as to follow him or follow themselves, follow the devil, follow whoever. And so he set up rules, because God owns the box.
That's right.
And since God owns the box, which is the universe, which is what we're in, he can set up his rules, and he did. He put two people in the box first, and he gave them two very simple rules. Number one, eat of the tree of life, representing Christ. Number two, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represents rebellion against God and his plan. Only two things. Man failed. Man ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God also, before he created the box, he had a plan. His plan was very simple. Somebody has to pay for our sin. Either we pay for it, or somebody else pays for it. But the person that pays for it has to be perfect. Has to be without sin. Basically has to be love. And so before the foundation of the world, he talked to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I will go. And as you know, Jesus came into the box. He had all of this. And he enters into the box and he allows rebellious man to put him on the old rugged cross at Calvary. He allowed himself to be nailed to that cross, and before that he was beaten severely. And he allowed himself to be put on that cross in the box, and he was buried. And on the third day he rose again. How do I know he rose again? The Word of God says so. Also the fact that if he had not risen, Satan would have certainly found his body and displayed it. It wasn't to be found because he rose from the dead on the third day. And those that respond to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid for their sin, will be with him even outside of the box in eternity. But those that did not receive Christ's payment on the cross will pay the price themselves forever in eternal hell. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the fact is, God was successful in what he did. And so he said, anybody that lives in this box, that responds to Christ, will be with him eventually in the whole realm of God. But he didn't come down here to die for us, that we would receive him just so we could go to heaven. He came that we would enter the race. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, called it a race. He said, I'm in a race, and I'm going to run for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. So not only did God die for us in that box, but he had a plan for every single one of us, and that's the perfect plan of God for you and I. Now, we can just relax and say, I'm saved, and I'm just going to wait till God comes and go to heaven. And you can do that. There's consequences to it, which I probably won't explain today. I'm going to explain them later. But the issue is, we all have a race. We can call it a responsibility to God, whatever you want to call it. We don't all have the same race, although some of it's the same. I used to run the half mile. They call it the 800 meters now, but I ran the half mile. I didn't run the mile. I didn't run the 2 mile. I didn't run the 100-yard dash. I didn't do all those other guys did that, and gals. But I ran the race that I was to run. So every time that race was to be run, I ran that race. The idea that was that I would win. Now, there's something to be said just for being in the race.
That's right.
Obviously. But I'm to run the race that God gave to me. And an interesting thing that Jesus said, now I want you to listen to this carefully. Jesus said, the Father said to me, I'm sending you into the box to die for those sinners. And then Jesus said to us, I'm sending you while you're in the box to reach sinners for Christ, to pray for the sick, to pray for those that have been captured by the devil. That's part of the race you're to run. We all have a part. We've talked about this before. You start with your family. You start with your mate. You start with your friends. You go out to the other acquaintances and so on. And you're running this race because it does make a difference at the end. I'm going to explain that very carefully. It makes a big difference at the end whether you run the race that God has for you or not. Now, obviously, I practiced before I ran. I had to learn what the race was about. I had to learn about it. We learn about the race of God in this book called the Bible. So we study it and we learn it and we meditate on it and we chew on it and we have it become a part of us because it's going to explain to us how we can run the race that God has for us inside the box. Now, it starts at salvation. Salvation takes place inside this box. Salvation, it takes place when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And then the race begins to run, and it runs all the way to what we call the rapture. And the rapture is when God's going to take us out of the box into the kingdom of God to do His work. Well, actually, what happens is we have 7 years, 7 years outside the box. While we're outside the box, there's going to be tribulation on the earth. It's going to be a horrible time. But He's going to take His church out. And the thing that He's going to do when He takes us out, we're going to stand before something that's called the judgment seat of Christ. This doesn't have to do with heaven or hell. It has to do with how we ran the race. And I'll show you where it says that in the Word of God. And don't take my word for it. Look these things up in the Word. Because I'm going to, well, let's go to the very first part of the Bible, very first verse, Genesis 1:1. I didn't want you to think I was making this up about the beginning. And just repeat after me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There you go. Go to verse 26 of Genesis 1. Repeat after me. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Okay, that was the beginning. That's what we were talking about. We're the only creation of God that was made in the image of God. Therefore, we are the only creation of God that can worship Him. Shall I say that again? We're the only creation of God that can worship Him. But we can choose not to.
That's right.
All that's going on in the box.
That's right.
The race is very simply worshiping God, loving Him, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's basically the race. If I could put it in a couple of things, that would be it. It's doing the will of God. It's loving God. It's loving people. I don't believe. The problem is that some Christians in the box have made a box for themselves and they don't love other people. Are you listening? We're supposed to be around people. We're supposed to be involved with people. This is part of the race. There's going to be a time when we're taken out. And then I'm going to show you, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. I'm giving you the whole 7,000-year plan of God this morning. So just stay with me. You'll be able to say, I know what the plan of God is. Now, no reflection on him particularly, but I'm going to tell you this. You're going to learn something this morning that probably the President of the United States does not know.
You know what, brother?
Are you listening? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A lot of college professors do not know. Now, let's look in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It tells us a whole lot of things. Number one, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, that verse 8 says when you die or when you're taken out of the box, if you're a Christian, you're going to be with the Lord. Number 9 here, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, run the race, that whether present or absent, we shall be accepted of him. The Bible does say some will be ashamed at his coming. Who will be ashamed at the coming of Christ? What Christians will be ashamed? The ones that didn't run the race.
That's right.
Verse 10, for we all, say all, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, in the box, in the race. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he has done, whether it's good or bad.
That's right.
So Christians can do bad. And so that's what the race is all about, because there's a prize at the end, or you're going to have to learn all over again.
Oh, no.
That's right. There's a school in heaven for those that didn't run the race here on this earth in the box. For the ones that run the race, there's rewards. I'm going to show you where it says that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't want anybody to leave this place today and say they didn't know about the race. Oh my. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation of Christ, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, for every man's work will be made manifest. So, you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to see what you did on the earth. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be there. You can't get away from it. It's going to be there, outside the box, at the judgment seat of Christ. And it goes on. It's going to be tested by fire.
That's right.
Fire of God's going to come on your works, and anything that's left, which was the good works that God wanted you to do in this life, you'll get rewards for it. The rest of it will be burned up, and you suffer loss.
That's right.
That's why there's going to be tears in heaven temporarily. It says that very clear in Revelation. There'll be tears in heaven. What are the tears? The stuff that got burned up that went on in your life while you were in the box. Now, it says, if any man's work, verse 15, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So in other words, some people are going to squeak into heaven not doing the will of God, and they're going to suffer loss. A lot of churches teach everything's just wonderful. Receive Jesus Christ and it's all over. Just wait for God to come. And then when you get to heaven, everything's going to be wonderful. The Bible does not teach that. That's correct. We're going to have someone's going to have a little smoke on our clothing, shall I say, if you have any. How come I got so quiet in here?
You're talking about my clothes.
Yeah, I got it. You're meditating on the Word of God. That's wonderful. All right. So, we have responsibility to God because it's His box. We have, number one, first responsibility, respond to Jesus Christ on the cross. Second responsibility, continue eating of the tree of life, which is Christ. Study the Word of God, learn it, do what God wants you to do on this earth. And you say, how do we know what that is? Well, just read what Jesus said to His disciples. He kept telling them, go out and do what I did. Go out and do what I did. They said, well, what's that, Lord? He said, you know, you've watched me do it. I bring people to the Father. I pray for the sick and they recover. I cast out demons. I do all this stuff. There's a lot of Christians that'd rather live with the demons than get rid of them. Are you listening to me? They get used to it. I'll put it this way. You get used to the smell. You know, if you smell something long enough, you get used to it. Okay. I don't want anybody going to heaven and say, Pastor Hall didn't teach me the truth. I'm teaching it. All right. Now, so we got the race. How long does that last? From the time you're saved till the time you're taken to be with the Lord. That's how long it is. I got saved in 1970. And so all that time, up till now, and however else long, as long as I'm in the box, that's what's going to count for my race. My race is not your race. You have your own race. A lot of people don't even know what it is. So, you know, there are going to be people up there say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do anything, God. How do you think that's going to go over? Not very good. Read the book. That's it. Read the book. So, this is not really, it's not complicated. I want you to look in John 20 and verse 21. This is not complicated. It's pretty simple. I didn't say it was easy to do. I said it's not complicated. Now, John 20. Now, everybody's messed up. Don't get me wrong. There isn't anybody that hadn't messed up. But we keep on moving in the race. You fall down, you get back up. I remember an Olympic race that I think a guy's name was Jim Ryan ran in. He was our best miler we had in the United States. He started that race. I saw it on TV. He started the race, got about halfway through, and he fell down and stumbled. Hurt his leg, got back up, limped, tried to finish the race. I don't know if he did or not. But the issue is, he was in the race. We're all in the race. We stumble and fall. God said, confess it, get back up, and keep on running. That's it. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ will cover your sin if you confess it to the Lord, and you can get right back in the race. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, or any other thing. And because Satan will tell you, look what you did, you're out of the race. I'm here to tell you, God says, confess it and keep on running.
That's right, brother. Tell it.
You see. Tell it, brother. And when's the race end? When you come out of the box. Mm-hmm. Some people retire. You don't retire from God. Mm-hmm. That's the time you really got time to run it.
That's right.
You see. And I saw these people, oh man, I had pastors tell me all the time, oh man, I can't wait. I think I'm going to retire at 62. Give me a break.
That's right.
Are you kidding? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do everything God wants me to do. I don't know if I'm going to get it done, but I'm going to try.
Tell it, brother.
Give it everything I got. Because I'm going to stay in that race till God takes me out. Hallelujah.
That's right.
If I can crawl, I'll be in the race, because that's going to count in heaven. All this other stuff isn't going to mean anything. Doing all this worldly stuff means nothing. It'll burn up. Some people have a bigger fire than others.
That's right.
And smoke, and so on. But anyway, that's the race. Now, what's next? Well, we come out of this race. God takes us out of the box for 7 years. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge us for our works, and we're going to get rewards. And I'm going to tell you what they are, some of them, in just a minute. You know, some of there's a crown of righteousness and a crown of faithfulness and all these kind of things, but that's not the major thing that you'll get if you run the race. And I'm going to explain what that is in a minute. We also have a marriage ceremony in heaven where we're married to Christ. You understand you're engaged right now. But the marriage is going to take place in heaven. Don't you think that isn't going to be a wedding ceremony? You know, if you ever watched on TV, they have these high-priced weddings. And everybody tries to outdo everybody else. Nobody's going to outdo this one. There'll be a trillion angels at this thing singing. Can you imagine? It's going to be one beautiful ceremony. And we're going to be married to Christ. But incidentally, you have to understand in the Bible, when you're engaged, it's the same thing as being married. You just don't sleep together. So we're married now in the sense that we have a contract with God through the cross of Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a ceremony in heaven. And then at the end of the 7 years, at the second coming of Christ, he's going to come down again to the box. Right now he's on the right hand of the Father in the kingdom of God. But in the box, he's going to come back again. Second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to come with him, the Word of God says. Now, I haven't got time to look up all these scriptures. I'm just explaining what's going to happen. I can tell you exactly, basically, the outline of what's going to happen. That's what I'm doing today. The next event on your calendar is going to be this. You're going to come back to the box with Jesus Christ. You're going to come to the kingdom. 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. You're going to be with him. Now, depending on how well you did at the judgment seat of Christ will determine what you're going to do at the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the kingdom, what you're going to do for the Lord. Because we're going to be serving him in the kingdom. In the kingdom, there's going to be human beings, just like we are in these bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies. I didn't mention that. We'll be in our glorified body, indestructible, no disease, none of that stuff. In the kingdom of God, we will be serving the Lord. Now, how does it describe that in the Bible? I'll explain. It describes it that some will be over one city, some will be over two cities, some will be over three cities. We will have different responsibility in the box. I think it'll have more to do than just on planet Earth, because we're talking about the whole universe in this box. And the way you responded to God in the race will determine how you're going to rule and reign with the Lord in the kingdom. Jehovah Witnesses always talking about the kingdom. Well, they're right about some of it, but not about a lot of the rest of it. The kingdom, we will be involved there. So, we were designed as the church to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the kingdom. The kingdom will be in the box. It'll last 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, we will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, depending on the rewards that we received at the judgment seat of Christ. Does that make sense? Now, all right. At the end of the kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and incidentally, from the kingdom on, we'll always be with the Lord wherever He is. We will be with Him. There's going to be a point where the box becomes a part of the kingdom of God. That is called eternity. God's going to take the box and He can just put it this way. He'll open it up and just empty it out into the kingdom. In that kingdom, He's going to build a new heaven and a new earth. And we are going to live in the eternal, I would call it the eternity hotel. It's called the New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
It's described in Revelation. It is designed for you and I. It's going to rest on the new heaven and the new earth. And let's look at some of this in Revelation so that you know. So somebody ought to be able to ask you and tell you what, and you ought to be able to tell them what's going to happen in the future. Now, I'm leaving out a lot, but that's okay. Let's go to Revelation 21. And here it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God forever. You ought to mark that because you need to know. Now, I'm going to show you right here where it talked about. There's going to be some tears. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away, and so on. Now I want you to go down to verse 7, because that's what I've been talking about lately that we were going to talk about, and I'm giving this morning as part of the Overcomer. You should put this in your Overcoming notebook. I hope you get one, loose leaf. Put this information in it, the stuff that I'm going to be teaching on Sunday morning and Sunday night particularly should be in the Overcomer's book, because I didn't make this up. Look at verse 7 of Revelation 21. He, and that means she also, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then it goes on to list some people that aren't going to be there. Well, I might as well read that, because we're going to be talking about hell in a minute. These are the ones that will be in hell. The ones that have a lifestyle of the following in verse 8. Those that are fearful, unbelievers, abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters. That means those that worship things other than God. It could be your big toe, but whatever it is. All liars, woo-hoo-hoo, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, which is eternal hell. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about eternity with God. So the issue is, very simply, we'll be in eternity. This was the eternal purpose of God for the box that he would have a family that would live for him, with him in eternity, forever.
Amen.
That's a whole lot longer than 7,000 years.
Yep.
Which is, we got, man's got 7,000 years to get it together if he's going to be in eternity. Now, he said he will be our God, we will be his people. In my opinion, everything in the box, everything in the kingdom of God will be one. In unity. One thing. God provided the box for one thing. That you and I'd be born into it, receive him as Savior, end up with him in eternity. That's the purpose of the entire Bible. If you wanted to sum it up, that's it. Now, you can call eternity heaven. You can call it whatever you like. But basically what it is living with God forever. That's what it is. Now those that have allowed Christ by their will, making a decision, letting Christ pay for all their sins on the cross of Calvary, receiving him as their own personal Savior, will be in heaven. Now, I always say this, but I want to make it very clear. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Reading your Bible doesn't get you to heaven. They're all good. Doing good things do not get you to heaven. You can't do anything to get to heaven, but receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. He did the work. Since he did the work, then we do the work here, but he did the work to get us to heaven. If he doesn't pay for your sins, you will pay for them in eternal hell. Is that clear? That should be very, very simple. So, the thing about the Lord is very simply this. There's a whole lot of people that go to church that know about God. They know he existed. They know he was on the cross of Calvary. They know he died on the cross. They know that he rose from the dead. But the devil knows that.
That's right.
And he's not going to heaven.
Right.
What's the difference? Well, the difference is the reason the devil's not ever going to heaven is because very simply, God, Jesus Christ didn't come as an angel. He came as a man. Therefore, human beings will be saved through Christ, not the angels. Now, eternity, the only way you receive that is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then I'm going to add something else to it, your Lord. If you don't want him to be Lord here, he's not going to be Lord there. You got it? If he isn't Lord here, he's not going to be Lord there. That ought to change a few things. You see. Because he came that everybody would go to heaven, but they have to make a choice, free will choice, to receive Christ, make him Lord of your life, so that you can run the race, so that you will rule and reign in the kingdom, so that you'll be with Christ forever in a place called heaven.
Amen.
You got it? It doesn't make any difference if you live in China. It's the same truth.
Right.
Africa, any place, same truth, you see. And the sad thing, there is a place called hell. Hell's not in the box either.
That's right.
It eventually is going to be outside of the box, but it's going to be a separate place where people are going to be in torment for eternity. Not because they sinned, but because they rejected the one that could pay for their sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, that is here the plan of God from the beginning to the end. Now, the point is, where are you at in the plan? You have 30, 40, 50 years of salvation to run the race so that you'll receive rewards from the Lord. Now, are there any questions about this? Because I hope I made this as clear as I possibly could. That's the best way I know how to tell you. Everybody at one time and eventually will be out of the box into eternity, but some will be in eternal hell and some will be in eternal, what we call heaven, which is the entire realm of God. Okay? I believe, as I said, I really think that heaven and earth is all going to be one. I think it's going to be one thing. There's never going to be a time that God's way out there someplace in eternity and you're over here. It's going to be together. That's was the whole plan of God in the first place. So we'd all be together, you see. Now, that's the simplest way I know how to put it, because I'm simple, I guess. But that's it. Okay, has anybody got a question, or did I do so with such a wonderful job? There's no question. That is the plan of God. You either are in it or you're not in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something. I'm not here to... I want you to have the whole enchilada, so to speak. Okay? Not part of it, the whole thing. That's why I try to teach the whole Bible over a period of time. But you have to come. You have to get it. You have to listen. Yet, and study on your own. Don't take my word for it.
That's right.
I wanted to show you about, I forgot one thing. And that's right here. At the end of the millennial kingdom of God, there is going to be a judgment for all lost people throughout the ages. From the beginning to the end of the kingdom, there's going to be another judgment, not for Christians, for those that have not received Christ, and that is called the White Throne Judgment. Now, let's see, where is that? Okay, here we go. Revelation 20, verse 11. I want you to see this. There's a judgment for believers, and there's a judgment for lost people. Everybody at the White Throne Judgment will be cast into eternal hell. All right, chapter 20, verse 11. The devil's going to get his too. Look in verse 10, Revelation 20, 10. God just uses the devil. Don't get all shook about him. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil doesn't run hell.
That's right.
He's in hell.
That's right.
You see. He's not in charge of it. I don't know where. That's out of the movies someplace. Okay? Pitchfork, the whole shot, you know. None of that stuff. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There it goes. The box is going to be dissolved. Okay, as we know it, anyway. Heaven and earth fled away. It's no problem. At the end, God just takes the box and throws it away. He's done with it. The purpose of the box was for you to come to Christ. You see what I mean? He doesn't need it anymore. He's got better things. Okay? Now, he said, the heaven and earth fled away. There's no place found for them. In other words, all the lost dead that refused Christ. And as far as I'm concerned, if you made some profession of faith back someplace and you haven't been faithful to God, you've refused Christ. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Okay? Aren't you glad you came today? All right. Nobody is, I guess. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and so on. The sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades delivered up its dead, and they were judged, every man according to his works. The dead, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right, pretty clear. Any questions? Yes.
So won't
anybody found in the book of life? Death. No. The book of life, glad you brought it up. I don't argue about how your name gets in there, but if you're a Christian, your name's in the book of life. If you're not a Christian, it's not in the book of life. So God's going to be fair. There's going to be an angel there with a big book. I don't know. Maybe he's got a BlackBerry. I don't know what he uses. But anyway, it says book. I'll take book, okay? It was written to those folks way back there that didn't have all this modern stuff. So all this modern stuff does is get us in trouble anyway. Now I'm meddling. I understand. Okay. Now, the deal is, the book of life, there's going to be an angel. So all these lost, dead people are going to be brought to life. Just they're going to get bodies. Their bodies are going to be raised too. They're going to stand before the throne of God, the white throne judgment in their bodies. And the angel's got this big book, and he's going to say, John Smith. The angel looking down there. No John Smith. He's out of here. Jim Jones. No Jim Jones. He's out of here. Eternal hell. Forever. That's the way it's going to work. Exactly the way it's going to be. Yes.
But it says judged according to their works.
Okay. Yes, absolutely correct. God judges everybody for their works. For the believer, their works are going to be judged for rewards. For the lost person, their works are going to be judged for how hot the fire is going to be, so to speak. Now, there are different levels of hell, different punishment. It's all bad, but some's worse than others. So even lost people ought to do good things because it won't be quite as hot where they're going to be. So there's levels of heaven and there's levels of hell. The levels in heaven are determined by, if I can bring the universe back, it's going to be determined by your race. Okay. Now, for the lost people, the hotter part of hell is going to be reserved for those probably that have taken human life is going to be the worst. To be honest with you, I think Hitler is going to be in the lowest hell. People like that that cause people to die prematurely, etc. Okay? Now, what I'm going to be teaching from now on is all going to be involved with that box. I'm going to explain things in detail. I'm going to explain how do you get good works. I'm going to explain can you lose your salvation. I'm going to explain the different levels in heaven, how that's accomplished. I'm going to explain all of this in the days to come. I can't do it all in one day. So you will have a good grasp of everything 6 months from now. I'm going to try to teach everything I can teach between now and Christmas because of the overcomers. Jesus said, he that overcomes, I'm going to give this. He that overcomes, I'm going to give something else. Let me show you that and I'm going to quit. I'm running over. Go to Revelation chapter 2. And I'll go through this real quick because I'm not making this stuff up. Okay. Okay. Now, let's go. I didn't have this in my notes, so I didn't get it here. But after every one of these churches, it talks about he that overcomes. Let's just go to Revelation 2 and verse 26. He that overcomes and keeps my works to the end. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about Christian works. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. That's ruling and reigning in the kingdom. That's what this is talking about. Okay? The overcomers are going to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. Go down to chapter 3 and verse 12. Him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down unto heaven, and so on. So you can go through every one of these churches. Look in verse 21, chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'll sit down with my Father in his throne. In other words, not every Christian is going to be an overcomer. Not every Christian is going to sit with Christ at the throne. And we're not talking about you got just as much chance as Billy Graham, anybody on television or anything else, to rule and reign with Christ. You don't have to be a super Christian. You don't have to be a well-known Christian. You just have to go finish the race that God has given you, and you will sit with Christ at his throne, and you will rule and reign in the kingdom of God. You got it? That's it. Now, don't get tears about what you haven't done. Get started on what God wants you to do now. What the past is over. You can't change it. Doesn't make any difference. Start now. If you got 10 years left before Jesus comes, which I doubt, run the race. If you got 6 months, run the race. Don't give up. Do what God wants you to want to do. Grace, I'll give you an example. And it's not because Grace and I are any super duper Christians or because we're pastors or any of that stuff. We went to a thing yesterday. It was pastors and wives thing. Before we went to it, we prayed. A lot of those pastors had bigger churches than me, but it doesn't make any difference. All I'm supposed to do is what I was supposed to do at this thing.
That's right.
And so we prayed ahead of time, Lord, we want a divine appointment. We want to see the one that you want us to bless. We didn't go there for ourselves. We went there to bless somebody. You don't do things for yourself. You want to bless somebody else. Ladies, if you aren't married, marry somebody that's gonna think more of you than himself. Are you listening?
That's great.
If you're married to somebody that's a jerk, pray for them to get the love of God in them, you see. But I'm just telling you the way it is. What was I talking about?
We're at this dinner.
Okay, we're at this dinner. So I didn't know who was going to do what. We went all the way through the whole thing. Food was all right. Conversation was okay. But that wasn't why we were there. We were there for Christ. with a bunch of preachers and wives. We had no idea what God wanted us to do. And just about the time we were ready to leave, we got in conversation with a guy. He said, I'm preaching the first message I ever preached in a church over here at Morningside Covenant, I think it was. And I said, well, this is it. So I said, let me pray for you. I prayed for him. That message would bring people to Jesus. I prayed he'd be anointed by God. I pray he would be on fire for Jesus Christ. That was a divine appointment. You can do this every place you go. Look for a pray for a divine appointment. Run the race. Nobody else, yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, so there we go.
He said,
that was the divine appointment.
That, you know, we're waiting for someone to pay attention to us. When here's someone sitting there that needed someone to just reach.
And I'll tell you what was funny. I started praying for this guy and some of the Christians took off.
Scooted
it.
It was like rats running for the hole or something. I couldn't believe it, you know? And some people will do that, but it doesn't make any difference. We're running the race for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's stand before the Lord.